Guys, welcome to WolfWeb 3. We have on Vanta Club today. They're revolutionizing venture capital by decentralizing access for high net worth Web3 savvy individuals. They've invested like $12 million into like over 80 companies since 2021, delivering some pretty impressive returns, including literal 10Xs. So I'm super hyped to dive into how they're transforming private investments, empowering the DAO community. Today we have Joshua and Mike. Guys, welcome to the show. Would love to have a bit of like a high-level breakdown. What's the gap you guys in the market, the gap in the market you guys are trying to fill? Who are you speaking to? I'd love to open this one up. Maybe we'll start with Mike for this one, and then we'll go into Josh. And I'm super excited to just pair this off of each other.
Sure. Yeah, so Vanta actually started as a syndicate in our parent company, which is Contango. So Contango Digital Assets, first and foremost, is a venture capital fund. We actually have a blockchain AI fund right now that we're deploying, but eventually decided to spin out the syndicate as a subsidiary company and eventually kind of push it into the DAO space. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. But yeah, it's just a community of some really kind of ear to the ground, what we call tastemakers in the Web3 space. So these are kind of pioneers, anywhere from protocol founders to KOLs, developers, other VCs that have all kind of joined together in this community to one, share deal flow, two, share diligence, and also kind of pool capital together to invest and become kind of greater than the sum of our parts. So as you mentioned, we've been running since June of 2021 and really picking up steam now and excited to, you know, see where the next leg of the journey takes us.
Right on, right on. Joshua, do you want to add anything to that? That's a pretty solid answer though, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, Mike got it. Mike has it covered for sure. I think maybe the one thing that I just want to mention is like, you know, let's double click on the quality of the members within Vanta, because this has been brought up a couple of times on podcasts or Twitter spaces and AMAs that we've been doing. And there's been a bit of a debate about what the future of venture capital means, and is it entirely decentralized, or does it stick within kind of the tier one VCs, the coin funds, the multi-coins of the world? And I really do believe that there is an avenue directly in the middle where we're trying to sit. And what do I mean by that? I mean, like, you know, Vanta Club isn't a place for just anyone to join that's a retail investor that has no experience with investing. It's the goal of Vanta Club is to bring on really influential people that have the ability to better our portfolio companies or better the deal flow that Vanta is able to get, share good ideas, share good due diligence, et cetera. And so I just want to, you know, just share a few of the members that are within Vanta Club so people actually understand what I'm talking about. Like Mario Nafal is a holder. We have one of the founders of GenLayer is a holder, president of Rug Radio, founder of Arcadia, co-founder of NFT Now, the founder at QuantStamp, founder at Nakamoto Games, co-founder of BoomFi, founder of Kenpai Pandas, OSF Rekt, founder of Pudgy Alpha, and plus a lot of, you know, other KOLs like Seed Phrase, Keyboard Monkey, Tradermane, Wizard of Soho, Ponzi Trader. So there's like some pretty high signal people that are holders of this NFT and that are part of this group. You know, a lot of them friends with Mike and myself. And our goal here really is to continue to add to that amazing cast of people, but do so in a way where we're creating this DAO structure that allows them, if they want to participate, they can participate. And they can know that this is something that they own, and it's not just something that's Contango's syndicate. It's, you know, a truly owned DAO, owned by the community members, owned by the NFT holders. And so I think that's what really sets us apart from potentially other syndicates. So I just wanted to add that part as well.
Yeah, I think one of the things that people may think when they're like a DAO-focused VC investment group syndicate, they're like, okay, so like anyone can join. You're like, well, like you said, you were double clicking a bit on the quality of investor that's coming in. It's not exactly that. Like, you're not exactly leaving a multi-million dollar company in the hands of a bunch of strangers. It's not as cut clear and random as that. There is a bit of thinking there. Curious though, on the direction you think that we're headed with investing. It's really, I know you guys aren't the only company maybe who's doing this strategy, but where do you guys see this landscape of VC investing going? Is there going to be more of this DAO structure? Are you guys sort of in a way leading and kind of being the flagship for that? Or do you think you'll be kind of that one shining light amongst various investing groups. It's just not something I've heard too much of. So I'm curious on what you guys think of the industry as a whole in that way.
I mean, I think the industry is moving in a decentralized manner. I don't think we're there yet by any means. And I think the technology of a DAO is still, you know, very much in its infancy. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done in order to kind of solidify those rails. That being said, you know, to take a step back, our mission at Contango has always been to accelerate the adoption of decentralized systems, partially because, you know, we think it's important for the world to democratize power and to kind of give power back to the people. But also, I think you can have much more efficient systems when they're decentralized. There's not as many bottlenecks. More people have say in voting and decision making. You can bring in kind of insights from a broader group of people, bring in deal flow from more people. And so I think, you know, in a lot of ways, this decentralization almost hardens us as a community and makes, you know, Vanta more than just Contango Syndicate and really kind of an entity that can stand the test of time, you know, well beyond, you know, mine and Josh's years. I think, you know, that's the end goal of what we're trying to build here. And, you know, really just trying to build the infrastructure. Hopefully there are others that will, you know, take what they see here and try and implement it as well. But we're really trying to be kind of pioneers moving into that decentralization space.
Wow. I was going to ask, so basically y'all are giving an opportunity for something that has typically been closed to be open in a DAO model, where you're bringing in high level companies that people can invest in a confederated way, where they're all pooling their money together, investing into large companies and getting the opportunity for the returns that would typically be for one-off, you know, large investors, that is now more available for DAO and people that are interested in a community oriented version. Is that correct?
Yeah, definitely.
Very cool.
And I think,
okay.
And I think, Charles, the maybe the one thing to mention on that is, like, this already exists, right? Like, what Contango has been doing with our syndicate since 2021 is exactly that. We're opening up access to people that wouldn't necessarily get access to these type of deals. And we've done that just through being really good when it comes to deal flow, being able to attract high level deals, understanding what some of these investors might want, understanding what type of deals will probably do really well. And that's how we were able to build up a really good track record of returns to raise our fund. The difference here of what we're actually doing is we're opening up that process where Contango is the one bringing the deals, and we're allowing anyone within the DAO to open that funnel and bring in other deals. And so for us, like, we run a crypto AI fund, we're super focused on that niche. We might have a blind spot to what's happening in the world of DeFi or GameFi now. And it'd be amazing if we had someone else that was a principal on another fund, or, you know, they were a founder that is in a deal flow sharing group, and they thought, hey, why don't I bring this GameFi deal to the table and then earn a percentage of the capital raised, instead of Contango being the only one that was able to do that before. Now, really, anyone from the group, as long as they get put in a deal scout position, they're now able to do that. So I think that's, like, the step change here that's really important in terms of, like, decentralizing that process. But the quality and the caliber of the deal flow is going to remain the same for the type of individuals that want access to this. And I want to tie that back also into one point you made earlier, Kate. It was about, you know, where does the future of investing go? Does it go more decentralized? I agree completely with Mike. I think it does move there. I think there's always going to be a place in which traditional VCs exist. I don't think that's going away. But I definitely think that what will happen over the next couple of years is the infrastructure will start to be built to allow for these things to happen. And, you know, typically right now, there are a lot of founders that they might not want syndicate capital or DAO capital because the processes that are happening in the background to do KYC checks and accredited investor checks and, you know, setting up the right legal entities and structures to actually do this and having connections with market makers to liquidate positions. And, you know, all of these things are actually really important from, like, a legal standpoint. And so I think that's what we're trying to really pioneer by creating this DAO structure and creating the infrastructure behind it to allow others that come after us to use that infrastructure as well.
Wow. Sorry, Cade, please.
No, you can go ahead, Charles.
No, I was going to ask. So some of the deal flow, it's, can you talk about some of the deals that have come in and maybe some of the win conditions that the communities had and kind of how they came about in the beginning?
Sure, Mike, do you want me to take Thorne? I might have a couple ideas. So, I mean, just to be, you know, completely transparent, there are a lot of deals that we do through Vanta that, you know, the first rule of Fight Club is don't speak about Fight Club. And so we try our best to keep them private. But with that being said, there are a few that I could mention. One that did really well for us that, you know, was kind of one of the first deals we did when we transitioned and rebranded as Vanta was a deal called Portal Gaming. Portal Gaming ended up, you know, I think 3 months after we invested in that and we put in close to $500,000 ticket combined with everyone there. It launched on Binance Launch Pool and then Binance listing day one. It was trading up 50X. You know, there were certain individuals that had, you know, pretty substantial five-figure tickets within that deal. I think now it's trading closer to 10X, where most altcoins are bleeding pretty hard. But, you know, great opportunity. And so those are the exact type of things that we're looking for, right? Like,
wow,
we saw that the ability to get into that deal was there. We, you know, had an existing member of our community actually brought that deal to us. He's the founder of another protocol. But that just shows how, you know, big and vast and influential some of the people that are within Vanta are, that he was able to bring this deal to us. We were able to pay him a referral fee for bringing the deal. And then, you know, we raised for it. So, you know, that's the type of deals that we've done. And then if you look at, like, for example, a couple of the deals that are live right now, we're doing a deal that's led by Animoca. It's an AI deal, you know, starting seed round. And then we're also getting another infrastructure deal led by Distributed Global Live at some point today. And there's potentially a couple other, you know, Telegram ecosystem deals that are going live in the near future. So there's always about a deal a week going on. There's always something to invest in if you're interested. And usually they're pretty high caliber if there's the interest there for them.
Wow. Okay. Last question, please.
I make one point on just the caliber. I think if you look at kind of the top names, the top tier one VCs, we've co-invested alongside most, if not all of them at this point. And I think part of that is because as Contango, we've built a name and brand and reputation for ourselves. So we have access to get that initial call at first. But what we do is we kind of pitch both investment entities and we say, hey, we can invest via the fund or we can invest via Vanta. Mm. And it allows access to a lot of people in this kind of, you know, distributed community that would never have access to a team or a founder of this caliber to then get access to the deal. So there's the element of, you know, greater access, not only to deal flow, but to the ability to invest in those deals, but also access to research and information about those projects. So we have, you know, lead researchers on the Vanta side, and we have, you know, analysts on our team at Contango that are doing diligence and writing research reports on all of these projects that go live. And the community shares in that benefit, right? Mm. So it's a very mutually beneficial kind of synergetic relationship between Vanta and Contango.
Mm, I could see that. One last question I thought was interesting. So, like, I've heard people in the past talk about the differences between being like an early buyer or trying to time the market and then being like a seed round investor, and it being way easier to be an investor in a project than it is to try to time the market and buy the coin. In your guys' perspective, do you think it's typically a better bet to become a seed round investor in a company and get your due diligence in than trying to time the market after the fact? Like, have you seen way better returns with being on this side of the grass than trying to, you know, time the market?
I would say yes. Obviously, we're in the venture capital space for a reason.
Sure.
You know, one big benefit is having direct access to the team. So you can, you know, ask deep questions. You can, you know, get the true feel from the founders themselves, as opposed to just, you know, reading a tweet thread or something online. Secondarily, you get access to their pitch, to their data room, their pitch deck, their kind of like financial information, full tokenomics. Oh, wow. So you have, you know, deeper understanding of how that ecosystem ticks, right? Where the value accrues, whether it's to equity or to token. You have the ability to ask kind of deeper questions in our kind of our channels. So you have probably more information in the private market than you do in the public market, which is surprising. And then also, if you're investing in a pre-seed round or a seed round, typically the project launches at a multiple of that seed or pre-seed valuation. And so as long as price stays steady, then, you know, you're in the black. But obviously there's downsides, you have vesting schedules and whatnot, but, you know, part of our job is to do our diligence and figure out if that, you know, if that investment is a long-term strategy or if it's, you know, essentially going to get dumped on launch, right?
Totally. Yeah. There's not enough cliff or something. Yeah. Very cool.
I would love to add to that. I think one of my favorite things about venture investing is, you know, you're forced not to sell, which is really nice. Ooh. I find, like, obviously in crypto, there's liquidity everywhere. There's a DEX. It's super easy to get into a position and then, you know what, never mind, I'm second guessing this. Whereas if you're investing in a seed round, it's like, oh, I know I have 3 years. Like, I have conviction here. Ooh. And then the other interesting thing that Mike mentioned about having information is, like, you're right until you're wrong when it comes to investing. And I think for us, what we do is, like, you know, we have a monthly call with the founders. And if it's obvious that they're not pulling their weight or they're moving in a different direction that we didn't initially agree to, it's like, okay, well, we can exit our position. And we have that information available, right? We can see how well they're working. It would be super nice if we could have a monthly, you know, call with the Solana Foundation or the Ethereum Foundation every month and see, like, oh, how are things going? What does the future of the project look like? Okay, never mind. I'm going to sell my liquid bag. So I found that to be really, really helpful. And then, yeah, definitely. I'm not really much of a day trader. So the returns from venture investing have been, you know, pretty good.
No, this seems like for me, this is the last thing I'll say, but for someone like me, this is ideal scenario. I'm a workaholic. I work all the time, but I love to be involved in a project. But the problem is that I'm not going to sit on a chart all day and try to figure out what project to get in, what entry. So having a lead analyst, if you have capital to deploy and you have people that are, you know, doing this due diligence for you that you trust, you know, and I think you guys having, do you think also your background of where you guys came from, instead, because a lot of times with crypto projects, people will create it because there's a hole, not because there's an expertise. And I think a lot of times when there's a given expertise already in this avenue, you see a lot more success, which it seems like you guys kind of rolled into this with a lot of expertise, and that maybe gave you a much better footing, because, like, even that cast that you said in the beginning is rare. Like, to have a really, even seed praise, like, some of those guys are really big names in the space. And so they probably put a lot of weight on the project, one on deal flow and one on just gravitas of what your project is as a whole. Do you think your expertise kind of rolled into that and kind of helped you form this?
Yeah, I think so. Right. I mean, it's a combination of expertise and network, right? Josh and I have both been in the space 7+ years now.
Got it.
Over that time, we've actually both made a point of kind of going to as many conferences as we can, shaking as many hands, taking as many meetings, meeting as many projects as we can. And just over time, you meet great people in the ecosystem, right? And so our original idea with Contango was, like, let's just put together a group of giga chads that we just have met through the conference ringer. And, you know, we'll share some deal flow, we'll share some information, we'll give tips. And then it kind of just gradually emerged into, you know, what it is today. But there's the network. And then there's also kind of, like, we talked about the high quality. With high quality, not only do you get smart capital, but you also get really good debate within the Discord. So if we put a project up, everybody has the opportunity to invest as much or as little as they'd want in that specific project. It's not like a traditional DAO where you put a $100,000 ticket in at the very beginning, and then you're at the behest of what the decision of the entire DAO is. You get to choose. If you like AI-specific projects, you can only invest in AI, or you can, you know, invest in DPIN or whatever you'd like. But what we get is really healthy debate in each of the project's, you know, channels. So they battle test it for us, right? These are smart people with their ear to the ground that have a lot of, you know, insights on different areas of the industry. And we hold those opinions in high regard.
Wow. This is the last one, Kate. I swear, I don't mean to derail. So So like when you have, I don't know much about the traditional VC world, you know, but I'm assuming there's a team of analysts that go into these companies and start to break down all the details, each specializing in different categories, I'm assuming. Now, with Vanta, you guys having kind of a decentralized like group perspective and group think across all your investors, have you found that that group think is actually in some ways more analytically true because of the different perspectives and how many vast perspectives there is in comparison to having like a slightly smaller team that's specialized? Or is it kind of, if the scales are just different? It seems like maybe more minds could be good, but maybe is skewed. Like maybe there's a little bit of a lack of clarity or focus towards one area. I'm not really sure.
I think we hit the sweet spot. Like honestly, really? Well, because like there's 500 Vanta NFTs, but there's really 250 holders. And, you know, a lot of these guys are really, really busy and they'll check the Discord once a week to see if a deal's come through and they're not actively participating. But of the, you know, 250, let's say 100 people are actually participating on a weekly basis. They're checking in, you know, trying to do due diligence on a deal, asking good questions for us to take back to the teams, et cetera. And of those 100 people, yeah, there are some very technical, like straight up developers that are asking good questions, doing good due diligence, which is awesome. So, yeah, I think that we have a really, really just like diverse group of thoughts and minds and smart people that are able to ask good questions. And it ends up giving us really good questions to ask the team to go forward with our due diligence process. So there's that. But I think the even bigger part, which I put honestly more onus on, is there's like a, it's like taking the overall crypto market and like cutting a little piece of it out, like a little slice of the pie, and having a pretty good idea of what the rest of the crypto market is going to think about something. And why that's important is because we can look at a deal, like Mike and I can sit on a deal with a founder and be like, oh, I don't know. Like, how did you feel about that one? Yeah, I don't know. Not super, super impressed. Like, let's see what the group thinks. And then we'll post like a deal summary and do a pledge and everyone's going crazy over it. And it's because they know something we don't, wow. Right? Like, it's just like, oh my God, yes, this sounds amazing. It's in the Telegram, in the Ton ecosystem. Ton's about to blow up. And we've been completely blind to that for that part, right? And we have like hundreds of thousands of dollars of interest. And it's like, okay, maybe they know something that we don't. Let's move forward with it. I'll put in my own personal check. Michael put in his own personal check. And then it has a TGE and it's 10Xs. And you're like, wow, they knew something. Like they're like a smaller chasm of like what the entire retail, you know, group of crypto traders is like. And I think that's super important. So there's like the, you know, I don't even want to call it like the pumponomics factor that they have like a really good feel for. And it's just such a perfect cutout or like sliver of the overall market. And it's not too many people where there's enough noise or there's enough signal there and it's not like super, super noisy.
Yeah.
Wow. Very interesting. That's all from me, Cade. Please take it away.
Well, I was going to say that the Ton ecosystem is something a lot of people are taking interest in right now. I think partially because of what you were saying, like the push towards a decentralized type of community that Telegram and Discord, they're both able to leverage. Obviously, Ton has the token that other deploying through Telegram, they're onboarding millions of users, potentially over a billion users. So it might be that you guys are in the exact right spot for that to happen. Question though, on the DAOs though, I know there are some traditional DAOs and then you guys have a bit of a different, what are the main challenges, I guess, with the traditional DAOs and then maybe with how you guys do it? Then I have a few follow-up questions there to poke into, but curious on your thoughts on that.
Josh?
Yeah, sorry, I just want to make sure. Yeah, I mean, look, there are, I don't know if you guys have participated in any traditional DAOs that are like, you know, investment DAOs, but the long and short of it for people that might not know is you essentially put your capital up front. So I have $50,000 or $100,000, can sometimes be more, and you put together a group of 50, 100, 200 people, and then you vote on the investments that are going to be made with that pool of capital. And typically they're venture investments. And then as the returns come in, the investments are sold down, the proceeds are distributed to the, and those DAO members usually quantified based off of tokens they receive in their wallet or an NFT that signifies their stake within the DAO or the fund there. And so really cool idea, actually, like that's a great idea. I think the downside to it though, is that what ends up happening is there's this mantra within crypto of like everyone's going to participate together and everyone's on equal playing field, and it kind of becomes like this cooperative. But in reality, it's like four or five people that are doing all the work. They're the ones bringing the deal flow. There's still some organization that has to happen. There's people that have to sign agreements. The DAO has to actually do work for the portfolio company too, right? They're going to ask for support along the way and introductions. And then you start to get the people that are doing all the work. They feel a little bit better about the people that aren't doing all the work because they're receiving the same returns. And so that's something that we saw and we thought, hey, that's not super interesting. And then one of the other downsides to traditional investment DAOs is you could see a deal and you could be screaming at the top of your lungs, this deal is not good, we're going to lose money here. But if the other side says, no, we want to invest in this, and it's 51% that decides to vote yes, you're voting a portion of your capital into a deal that you know might fail. And I so see. What we wanted to do is we wanted to take our already existing syndicate. And what a syndicate is essentially just we bring a deal to the table. The investors in the group decide, I want to put forward 5,000 into only this deal. And then two more deals come and they say, I don't like those. And then the fourth deal comes and they invest in that one. So it's on a deal by deal basis. And what we wanted to do is we wanted to put the world of a DAO with the world of the syndicate together. And so what that really looks like is the syndicate continues. However, the one difference being, you know, we're not the only ones bringing in deal flow. Anyone from the community can bring in deal flow, or if they get voted to be a deal scout, you can then bring deal flow. And then the DAO component of this is that there is a treasury. It has, I believe, about $800,000 worth of ETH in there right now. And the NFT holders get to vote on what happens with that treasury, whether that be hiring analysts for the DAO to do research, hiring operators for the DAO, building out infrastructure, liaising with legal, setting up events around the world for DAO members. And so you're basically, yeah, creating this decentralized autonomous organization that is a syndicate, really, if that makes sense. And I've looked around and I truly think that we are the first people to do that.
And I'll add one thing. It's not, deal scouts are not the only role within the DAO, right? Like, so for example, we need to do research reports for every single deal that comes through. If we have a number of people, let's say it's 5 to 7 people that we trust to do research reports, either they're analysts at other VCs, or, you know, we've seen their works in public and, you know, they can do their job, we can give them a researcher tag, right? And so what we could do is we could say, hey, we have this project, it needs a research report, give us a request for proposal to write the research report, and then we'll give you a percentage of the capital raised. And so everybody that participates has the opportunity to get paid from the DAO and to get paid for their work. And you get this kind of collective. If there's whales that own multiple NFTs, and for example, they want to put TVL into a DeFi project that we invest in, you know, they should get rewarded for supporting that project. Or, you know, if somebody brings deals, like a deal scout. So there's many different ways that you can participate, and each role should, you know, should be tailored to your specific background and what you do best.
Yeah, one, I really wanted to hit on the NFT side of this. So some people may look at this and say, why bother doing the NFT? What's so special about that? Why implement that when NFTs have trended downward for so long? But then I also heard a different rhetoric in the last few months about utility NFTs, because I think some people at least have had enough of the PFPs. Maybe they'll make another run up, who knows? But the utility NFT and the utility projects, I've heard a lot of rumblings about, especially after meme coin season kind of just went crazy and we saw the tops of just the most degenerate of degeneracy that I've ever seen in my entire life. I did not think we were going to go down as far down as we did, but talk to us about the NFT side of it, what that looks like when you join, maybe why you guys jumped into the NFT space, where you guys see that world going, and we'd just love for you to color that in for us a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I think I agree with your opinion. We're not just kind of like a PFP project. We definitely have real utility. That being said, the NFT itself is actually a beautiful kind of mosaic of what we call a tastemaker. And the mosaic is like 500 individual pieces that come together to make this kind of, you know, bust with a crown. And it represents the 500 individuals that make up the Vanta Collective. That being said, you know, you can treat this almost like an entry fee into a country club, right? On the flip side, with an entry fee into a country club, that's a one-time fee. You can't then say, hey, when I want to leave the country club, I need that fee back. And so instead of paying an upfront cost, you're buying an asset that potentially could accrue value that you could also resell at a later date if you don't wish to be involved in the syndicate anymore or the DAO.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's an asset that you hold. The other, you know, part to the NFTs is the more NFTs you hold, the larger allocation sizes you can get into the deals that we invest in. So direct benefit to having more than one NFT. And that's why, as Josh mentioned, we've got 500 NFTs in circulation, but 250 members, because, you know, some people want larger allocations than others. And the only way to make that, you know, a fair process is to allocate to those that hold the NFT.
Very interesting.
If I could get one more point here.
Please.
The NFTs in some ways actually create a little bit of a barrier to entry. And that's kind of what we want, right? We don't want just anybody off the street coming in and you know, shilling random projects and, you know, causing havoc in the Discord. We want real, you know, real investors, ear to the ground, tastemakers. And so the NFT floor price, I think right now is around one ETH. And I think the reason being is because people value the community, people value their allocation sizes. And in some ways, it is a barrier to entry for, you know, smaller investors.
Well, this is interesting, too, because like back in the 90s, 2000s, well, really probably like late 90s, 2000s, video games were hard disks that you could sell them after the fact. So right. You could buy the game, you could sell it, you could retain value, and then downloadable games came in and nobody retains any of their value anymore. You buy it, you download it, you lose it forever. You can't do anything with it. You can't send it to anybody. There's no way to pull that money back out of it. It seems like that's the fix here. Like if you did a pay for entry, which you could do easy, you could go on WAP, you could have a $5,000 entry per whatever or however much you wanted it to be. And that would be a cost annually that you would accrue to people, but they can never retain that value or get that value back unless they go through like a return process, which is muddy. You wouldn't want to do that. And that's not the right way to do things. So this gives investors the ability to retain the value that they put into it as much as possible and also put a little bit of speculation behind what the project is doing. Is that kind of a good summation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Very cool. Wow. Yeah.
Please.
If I can add one more piece of utility, I mean, from our perspective is if you own an NFT, the only way you can invest in the projects that come through Vanta is by owning an NFT. And if you own the NFT, you have to KYC if you want to invest. And so it gives us one more, you know, kind of way of knowing who our customers are and, you know, remaining compliant.
I was having a lot of conversations with this guy named Brett Malinowski a couple of years ago during the NFT space. He's big online. He does a great job online, does a lot of content, does all sorts of stuff. And he and I both evolved through the NFT market. We had kind of the same thoughts towards a lot of the NFTs. And I know at a certain point, he was kind of tired of all the stuff going on. And I just remember him saying like the exact model that you guys have, which is these high ticket NFT access tokens you guys have, that once you're either tired of it, you don't have time or whatever the reason is, and you want to hop out or you want to gift it to someone, then you still have that token you have as an actual asset that you can sell. And he was like, it makes perfect sense. And it's an actual reflective floor price of the value. Like it like makes a lot more sense than the degeneracy of the trading. The amount of tickets you have has a pretty big impact. Like you only have 500 of those NFTs. It's not exactly like a liquid market in the same way that some of the tokens are. It's a very like real raw look at how the company is doing, which kind of is a good thing if the company founders are actually doing their stuff and their goal is actually to build a business. If it's not, then that vision falls apart almost in 3 months once the hype dies down. So that's pretty cool because you almost make it harder. Not almost, you do make it harder for yourselves doing it that way. And so that's really curious for me. I know you have the Raised Base investing platform come in. And I would love for you to drop some features, talk about that a little bit for people who are interested. I'm sure people are like, okay, it's time. I'm interested. Let's see exactly what they have here. Cause I'm going to follow up with that with another question too, but.
Yeah. Awesome. And I think you brought up another utility of this NFT is like, you know, this platform that we're using and we're building called Raised Base. It's awesome. It's a great investment dashboard for everyone within the community to connect their self-custody wallets and track the investments that they've made and invest in new deals. And maybe if I give a bit of a backstory, like prior to us starting Vanta, we'd always had this syndicate through Contango, and we were using another provider to do this. And the costs just kept ballooning and ballooning, and the features we were looking for just weren't there. And so in true Contango fashion, we thought, you know, let's just build this ourselves. And we bootstrapped the entire thing. We haven't taken any venture capital yet anyways. And, you know, lucky for the members of Vanta, we've been able to use it with them and beta test it. And they've been able to provide us awesome user feedback on it and what features that they really want. And so we're building this for them. And we're not paying the you know, astronomical fees of the other provider. And that's why we have the lowest fees in the space, I think, in the world of syndicates at 5%. Typically, you're looking anywhere from 10, 12, sometimes upwards of 15% management fees in a deal, and we have 5. And one of the reasons, because we're building this platform ourselves. And so what is the current platform look like that is RaiseBase? It's a white labeled solution. So you log in, it's a Vanta Club domain. You go there and you use your email to log in, and you can connect multiple wallets to the platform, and you can see the live deals that are available. And you click in on a live deal in your dashboard. You can see the vesting schedule of the deal. You can read the research report that our analysts have wrote, check all the social links, all the blurbs, the pool info, the round info, everything. You can then connect your wallet and directly invest stablecoins into a deal. And then because of that, once that whole process is finalized, you'll then see that investment on your dashboard, where you can track the return on investment using a CoinGecko API feature we have. And you can track the vesting schedule based off the number of tokens that have been sent directly to your wallet. So it's an amazing tool from an investor standpoint. And then from an admin standpoint, from us, it's awesome because we can track all the investors that are investing in the deals. We can set up different pools, you know, for different types of investors. Like, I'll give you an example here. We have a whale tier within Vanta, where if you hold 3 NFTs, you get 3 times the allocation as someone that holds 1. And so the system will actually check your connected wallet to see if you hold 3 NFTs, and it'll only populate that whale pool for you if you actually hold those NFTs. So that's what it currently looks like in today's standard, today's form. Where we're going, there's a lot of awesome features that we're building in. We're building in cross-chain distributions. We're going to be able to handle distributions directly within the platform on Solana, Tron, and Avalanche, a lot more than just Ethereum, what it is today. We're having an OTC marketplace. So if you're a part of the club, you can come and you can trade your allocations back and forth amongst each other. That means, you know, actually potentially getting liquidity on some of the investments that have had an up round. We have a KYC function there. We're looking at doing an investor score, like an on-chain investor score, where you're able to track individuals' investments that they've made, see if they're staking tokens or if they're just selling tokens on day one, and then attribute an actual investor score to them, which I find quite interesting. And then the biggest one for me that I'm most excited about is the ability to visualize the returns. And so I'm not sure if anyone here uses the CoinMarketCap portfolio tool, but basically it's exactly that. You're going to be able to track all of the investments that you've made and track the current trading price of those tokens, plus the divestments that you've made personally. And then based off of that, you're going to see a nice chart that hopefully looks like it's up and to the right with realized and unrealized returns. And so this is just going to be a hub, an all-in-one hub for syndicates, for the managers of the syndicates, the investors in the syndicates. And that's just V1. We got a lot of plans for V2 moving forward to create a Web3 private market hub for syndicates, angel investors, DAOs, and potentially even traditional GP funds to give a dashboard to their LPs to track the on-chain return to the fund. So we still have a long way to go, but this is in beta testing for Vanta Club members right now. We're really excited about the future of it.
Can I mention one more thing?
Please.
I have to give Josh a ton of credit because he's been leading this entire project, and the platform's incredible. But, you know, too, I think one of the things that other competitors in this space lack that we have is this true homegrown community. Like, we built this out of necessity for ourselves, not like to what you mentioned earlier, Charles, finding a gap and then filling it out of necessity for the market. We had this community. We wanted to build something that would benefit and behoove them. And, you know, we get direct fast feedback from them on products and features that they want, things that we've implemented, you know, bugs we can fix quickly because we have the entire community on board. And so I think there's a major right to win because there's one, this installed base already. We've already done multiple millions of dollars of raises through this platform. And two, because we're kind of the right people in the right space to be leading a project like this.
Yeah, that SaaS is going to be an absolute win condition. Have you noticed that before, how were you guys brokering and handling the deals? And after, does this put a lot of autonomy back into the project? Like how much legwork were you putting behind the scenes to move all those details around and kind of manage those details? Because I'm sure it was just manpower prior, correct?
You wouldn't believe how many syndicates there are still using Google Forms and Excel spreadsheets and getting people to fill it in and tracking down people.
I would absolutely.
Oh yeah, this is that. So that's one of the reasons why we decided to do this, right? It was like, I mean, don't get me wrong. There are other people, you know, competitors in the space building similar things. They just weren't building the exact features that we wanted or that our community wanted. Like when we got direct feedback from them and they were going too slow and it was costing way too much. But yeah, it's. I think that there's still a lot of syndicates out there that aren't using any platforms because of the high fees that it takes to use some of the other competitors out there. And so I think that there is definitely a gap in the market for us to just build something that's exactly what syndicate investors want. Iterate on that by just having a really good user feedback process, charging a fair, you know, fee for using it. And I think there's going to be a lot of customers that end up labeling this.
Wow. Yeah, I'm kind of interested. So you've got a few roles in the Discord and kind of in the community. So can you outline, if there's people listening right now, what, like, obviously you have a researcher role, you have an investment role. Are there other roles in the Discord that people would fit in different modalities or different ways that they could specifically add value to the community? And if they do add value to the community, is there additional benefit for them for adding value outside of just deciding to invest in a project? Like say you have a lead researcher or whatever it may be. I'm just thinking for anybody watching this right now, like I think a lot of times maybe it could seem like you just want high level investors and top tier, which is absolutely true. That's a win condition for everybody. But I'm wondering, is there also like, hey, maybe I'm not like just looking for investment, but I'm looking to be a researcher, whatever it is. Is there a lot of different roles that people could fill in the community, or are there a few different roles where they could kind of come in and offer some of what they have?
Yeah. I mean, the roles are going to be an evolution at the end of the day. And I think, part of being a DAO is asking the community what type of roles and responsibilities they'd like to have as well. As of right now, I think, you know, the general basics to cover our ground is the deal scout and the researcher. We also have a whale role too, which is directly correlated to the amount of NFTs you have. You have to have at least to be a whale. And there are some deals that only whales get access to because we only have a small, you know, portion of allocation, and so they get the kind of first dibs, you know. But I could see in the future having a developer role, right, where either you do technical diligence on projects or you kind of help with the development of RaiseBase. There's a whole host of things that people can do. Obviously, if you think of any business, there's a number of things. There's marketing, there's sales, there's a bunch of different kind of external roles that, you know, typically we would hire externally for that. If people in the community that are willing, capable, and, you know, responsible, we would love to, you know, bring those roles in house and kind of, you know, foster more communication amongst them.
Absolutely. Wow. Very cool. I think that's it for me. It seems like a clear picture. Very cool. I will say I'm bullish. I think this is a cool project. You know, there's a guy, he does what's called ATG system, and he said success leaves clues. You know, people are always, that do well will always have a trail of success behind them. So it just seems like you guys are winning. So yeah, I'm on board. Very cool, guys.
Yeah, this is awesome stuff. Last question. So people who want to get involved, just outline the first 2-3 steps just to get involved. If they're like also bullish, I'm with Charles, what's the next step for them?
Go to our website, vanta.club. On our website, you'll see all the links to get involved. You'll then be sent to OpenSea. You'll have to get an NFT here. But once you get an NFT, you bought one, it's about, I think, about one ETH is the floor price right now. I think there's only 6 or 7 NFTs listed. Yeah, so that definitely tells you a little bit of something about the quality of the group and how people want to stick around. But
if you're a whale, you do get one. 2 slots left if you want to be a whale.
Basically, yeah. Yes. Wow. And wow. I think 2 of those that are listed are like someone joked around to put up for like 69 ETH or something. But regardless, buy an NFT and just come join. Once you get the NFT, you'll be able to connect your wallet with Discord. We use Collabland as a bot there for token gating. And then join the Discord, go through all of the channels, all the important links there, create an account on our investment dashboard, connect your wallet, check and see which deals are available. Provide some alpha. If there's any interesting deals that you're looking for, like, oh my God, I really, really wish we could get, you know, XYZ protocol. I haven't had an opportunity through any of our other syndicates to get access to it. Post that in the Discord. Mike and I have a great network. You know, I would say about 80% of the time we're able to get an intro and then potentially make an investment there. So we need more eyes. And so that's exactly the type of person that we're looking for. That's all you need to do. Super simple.
Right on. Anybody you want to shout out before we close up this conference? I almost said, if you want to close up this space, I'm so used to Twitter Spaces. Any shout outs you guys want to make before we close up?
Shout out my mom. She's a great woman.
Shout out the rest of the Contango team, though, honestly, because they really helped us get to this point. And shout out to the community, right? Like they're the ones that are the true value behind, you know, what we're doing here. So we couldn't do it without them. And you know, we love and respect everybody in the group.
Awesome. Well, listen, guys, I had a great time. Joshua, Mike, Charles, too. Man, I love doing these conversations. They're amazing. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. And guys, like I said, if you were interested in Vanta Club, hit up their website, go see what's up, join their community, and we'll see you all next time. This is the Wolf Web 3 Podcast. We'll see you all later.